Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Yes, I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart.
Amen.
I want to see you.
How do you want to see him?
To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory.
Be loving.
Pour out your power and love as we sing. Holy, holy, holy. High and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy.
Just look around at everything you see. You can see him. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to have all of you out this morning. Good to have our visitors with us. We have a couple. We have a little bitty one over here and one over this way. And we always say when you come one time, you're a visitor. Two times, you're part of us. So just make yourself at home. You know, and welcome. Man, glad to have you. Remember the announcements. We really had a good time at the fellowship meeting yesterday. I thought the brother done a wonderful job preaching, and also just, you know, we thank you, Lord. So that Wade will be speaking this afternoon, and that just pray that the Lord would bless him. And Sister Anna Kennard, sister, did she get home? Okay, Sister Anna had an operation Friday, and she's home and doing great. So we appreciate that. Amen. Brother Dean had to leave. If you've seen him, it's something about his machine on his sugar messed up, and it shot insulin into his body, and he had to go home. Said he may have to go to the emergency room because it was too much of a doings, but we'll just pray that the Lord would do it. If you've seen Brother Donnie, he's hopping around on crutches, and Mark's got his arm in a sling, and Wade said he wouldn't dare to referee, so we don't know what happened. We don't know what happened. We just, now looks like the brothers got bombed up a little bit somewhere. So we just pray that the Lord would bless each one and take care of those pains and agonies. Amen. That all the announcements, anything, I don't generally forget it, but amen. Let's read our scripture, Revelations 1:1-3, and then we'll go to Revelation 6:3-4. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, for your love and your grace unto us. Thank you for the hour that we're living upon the earth and the time that we have to be able to fellowship together one with another and just come and speak to our hearts this morning and remember those that have asked us to pray for them, that, Lord, so much sickness in the land and so much doings. And, Lord, just bless each one. Be with Brother Dean there. Touch him, Father, and take away his problems and just let everything be okay. And we thank you, Father. Have your way now as we read your word and you come and speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Revelations 1. Now, the Lord willing, I said the Lord willing, next Sunday we're going to take the way that kind of like we've done the annual 70 weeks up at the minister's meeting. And it is on the Internet. If you want to download it, you can see the presentation that we made there, and it's been requested that we do it here, so we're going to try to do that. So the Lord willing, next Sunday, I'll take the morning service and kind of present the part, and then Wade can take the evening service to be able to present his part. Maybe that way we can approach it a little different by having a different amount of time. We were kind of limited there, but it worked out real good, I thought. And so just remember that. Amen. Revelations 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who by record of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. What is it? Time to understand is at hand. Now let's go over to chapter 6. All right, we read 1 through 1 and 2 from the last parts we've been on, and now let's go to verse 3. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, "Come and see." And there went out another power that was red, and power went out another horse that was red, and power was given unto him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, we've been doing this in the series, and we came up through chapter 5 and saw that it was actually the opening of the seals and things. But that is to showing that what would go to Israel, because we believe that, you know, the seals is to Israel. Amen. The revelation is to the bride.
Right.
You say, yeah, but Brother Dale, we get the seals. Well, you better be careful talking about getting the seals, because the first seal is the man of sin sitting in the temple of God showing himself to be as God.
Right.
So I wouldn't want to be there when that happens, because that's when he's incarnate. We'll get back in a minute in the form of the beast.
Amen.
Well, see, then that would put you in bad shape.
Right.
I certainly wouldn't want to be there with the killings of Armageddon, the different things. And I certainly wouldn't want to be there on the sixth seal.
Right.
And then we'd totally be left out in the fifth, that being the souls under the altar. And I certainly don't want to be left out of this, do you?
Amen.
So then I know that's a way of people thinking, because it's always just been that way, that people just say, the seals, we understand the seals. That's the white horse rider. Well, now, that would be revealing Satan. And the Bible is not revealing Satan. It is revealing Jesus Christ. We just read here in Revelations 1, not 1, that it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. We've been over this and over with it for you for 40 years, trying to get you to understand. Because, see, there's no such thing as a revelation of the devil. There's a revelation of Jesus Christ. He would have to be something to be revealed. Right? And he's not anything. He's a demon power. He's a spirit. He's all of the things. But see, the Bible is revealing Jesus Christ. And I know people will get that and they say, "Boy, you really are messed up," because we believe. We who? What gives you any right to believe anything other than what God says?
All right?
Well, you say, "Well, who gives you the right?" I don't have none. I just forfeited mine and have tried my best to be able to yield to him, to let him speak through me through all of these years. And I haven't changed in 40 years, so I don't think you'll need to worry about changing anymore. You know, we just forget it. I'm too old to change. You know, I'm not trying to run for president, so I don't have to worry about a change. You remember that's what got him in there last time. I don't know what's going to get who in this time, but we ain't worried about it, because it's like I told them one time at a fellowship meeting. I said, "You want me to tell you who's going to be president?" And they were just looking, you know. I said, "Well, you want me to even give you thus saith the Lord?" Well, everybody just drawing back. I said, "The Bible said I take out kings and I put in kings. The one that we need in the White House is going to get in the White House. So they ain't worried about it. And if I knew who was the one would be able to take us down to bring a bride to a point to where that she would be concerned, and I was a casting vote of the finality, I'd go cast it in a hurry, you know, to get this thing underway. Because, you know, we've coasted along here long enough. We fought it around Horeb and all this, you know, 40 years they did, and just kept going around and around. Finally, one day, they said, let's go across. You know, we need to get out of here. All right. But see, it's not the revealing of the Antichrist. It's the revealing of Jesus Christ, see, through the Bible. And then that will make known who the Antichrist, who the devil is. Oh, well, we know who the devil is. Yeah, he's the guy with the horns. Yeah, that's pretty good. No.
Yeah.
He's the guy that used to sit in all of our souls. That are, and if you're not born again today, he's still sitting there. And even after the born-again experience, he's the guy that can still work on the body and spirit. Well, I've never seen the devil. Look in the mirror in the morning and say, good morning, devil. No, I'm a Christian. That's right. That's where the deceiving part is at, of what he has done and how he's been able to do it. Until we get to the point that, you know, that we look at him as like something. The Bible says he's like a man laying in a ditch. What are you going to do with a drunk laying in a ditch? You afraid of him? But says, well, oh, the devil, you have to be careful. You know, he's powerful. He can only do what God lets him do. So then I'm not afraid of him. I'm like, what was it, Brother Al? He's not here. But he said the other day, he said he's in there doing something, praying or something. Said the devil comes. He said, holler, boo devil. Said Sister Anna's in the other room. Said, what? You know, he was just hollering loud enough she heard him, saying, boo devil. Well, that's what we ought to do. We ought to keep hollering at him, drive him off. You know, and all you got to do is boo devil. Well, the best way to boo devil is not to say boo, but say Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. That's the boo that I use. I don't go around booing and hollering at him. I just say, Jesus, take care of this thing. You know, Lord, come on the scene and take care of everything because I can't do it. All right, let's get down into what we're talking about now. See, then we saw from the messages we preached on the first seal or the first part of there, or the White Horse Rider, that we saw that that was the Antichrist. All right. And we saw that John talked about, in his little John's, after he come back from Patmos, you know, that he talked about an Antichrist. But see, Paul and them, they never said the word Antichrist. Paul called it grievous wolves and stuff like that, you know. All right. He would call it many different things and even look forward to seeing the point that when it would come to that there'd be a man of sin to sit in the temple of God showing himself to be as God. Sure. But yet he still didn't see what John saw. Because even John was not able to express that when he came back from Patmos himself. Because when the seals were broke, they were broken under John. And he saw a white horse and a rider thereon. And he saw that he had a bow and no arrows. And then he saw that a crown was given unto him. All right? Now, then he goes on to the next that we just read, and he saw a red horse, and he saw one that began to kill and do different things and take peace from the earth. Well, John then still, now I quoted these over and over to you, so I thought, well, I better get them and read them because somebody out there may, you believe it maybe, but somebody else may not. Say, well, I don't really know Brother Branham said that. So I pulled up a couple of things about John admiring this. So go ahead, Brother Anderson, and pull it up, and let's read it. And look what your prophet had to say about it. See, we think that the devil is so thing, and like I said, some great big monster walking across the earth like a King Kong, you know, like that. And, oh, he's going to bow down to me. Yes. No, it's got to be a religious society to get you to bow down. Even Hitler was not trying to get them to bow down and make him God. He was just wanting to rule everybody. He wasn't saying you got to bow down and kiss my toe and you got to do this or whatever. No, he wasn't a religious. He was political. And he was governmental. but not religious. All right. Now, if you don't get nothing out of the message today, get one thing. How easily it is to be deceived.
That's right.
No. How easy it is to be deceived. We've been told all of our life that this is your right hand. Well, by whose standards? A horse is measured not by inches or feet. A horse is measured by hands. Well, some of you have very small hands, and you measure a horse by that, and then you compare it to Brother Arline that used to have them so fingers so long until, you know, I'd have hated for him to slap me on the face because they would have come all the way around the back of my head and hit the other side. Well, now, whose hands? According to Brother Arline, and you measure the horse, it'd just be a Shetland pony. But according to some of our hands, it might be a great big old tall horse. You say, well, that's, no, just getting the point across. How easily it is to be deceived and think we're right. Now, we are not against any church of any form. No. Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, Pentecostals, Catholics, or anything. We're not against that. We're against the system that caused that to come into being. To where churches separate from one another because of doctrines. But not because that we're against the people. See, we came from there. All right? And you know me, I don't preach out there. I preach the deception that's in here where you and I are at. Because what is out there is no concern. See, we have wonderful friends and people that are, you know, out there. Like I told you, the boy called me the other day and left a message. And I worked with him for many, many years there at Dorville. And he said he was going to be baptized and wanted me to come. And then he called me back and told me he left a message. We're still talking on the answering machine. But anyhow, he said he couldn't get it done. There was something came up, a death in the church. But he wanted me to know that he was going to get baptized. But he also said he was sorry about the way he had talked about me and things as we worked together at General Motors. Well, I thought that's a great thing. This world is full of good people. But when you're deceived, you're deceived. Now, that's the simplicity that I'm trying to get it to each and every one of us. We studied the Bible for many years, didn't we, before we heard of this message. And we're deceived by understanding or thinking that the Bible was teaching that there was three gods, or God in three persons, Blessed Trinity. And we swore by those things as being what the Bible had to say. But then we found out that wasn't what it was saying. Right. See, you know what we were? We were deceived. Right. Now, Eve in the Garden of Eden, Eve was deceived, the Bible says. She thought she was right. Adam was not deceived. The Bible said he knew what was going on. But she was deceived by Satan through the beast to talk to her and things. And it got into her mentality. And it deceived her. I've always told you what I believe about that. I believe that she actually was thinking that she was bringing forth the promise of God. Because later she said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. But how deceiving can you be to cause a whole world to come into a chaos over what you believe?
Right.
Well, brother, bless God, Brother Dale, I'm not deceived. Well, it's kind of like what they say, and it's not a joke, but they say if you go down to an insane institution, and they'll ask you some questions, and they'll say, are you crazy? And you say, no. They say, put him over here in cell. We'll talk to him later. If he say, well, are you crazy? And they say, I probably am a little bit. They say, well, put him over there. We can help that person. You know? I mean, you know, we ought to realize that we've all been deceived.
Amen.
All right? Now, then you come into this message and look at the doctrines that are flinging. And did some of you believe those doctrines and where you came from and the things you were in? So what about it? How easy it is to be deceived. Now John sees this situation on Patmos. He sees a church system. So go ahead, brother, and pull it back up. I didn't get to read on it. But look what he sees. This is taken Spoken Word's original seed, paragraph 20. The prostitute of Revelation 17 was a church. And you know that the Catholic Church admits these things are their church. The mystery, the Babylon coming over and the things. And they admit it. But you see, we Protestants, oh no, I can't be deceived. No, we already are. See? But look what he says. The prostitute of Revelation 17 was a church. John admired her because of her beauty. What she was. She was a beautiful thing. But yet in her was found the blood of every saint of Jesus Christ had been murdered in her. What about a deception? What about a deception that you could think you was right and you kill people? You know that scripture? It's scriptural. Let's read it. Paragraph 21. Now, didn't Jesus say there come a time they would kill you thinking they were doing God a service?
Right.
Now, this Bible, do you need it? It's in the Scripture. It's in the Gospels. That Jesus said they'll kill you thinking they're doing God a service.
Right.
Now, how far could you be mentality in your mind?
Right.
So low that you could kill somebody. And say, well, I was doing it for your benefit. Yeah. Come on, church. But yet, congregation says amen. Maybe a lot of you didn't. But they did. Right? And they're sincere about that. They're not hypocrites. They believe that. They're taught that. I mean, Jesus said, they'll kill you. And we'll read it in a minute where the Catholic Church, under St. Hippo, I believe was his name, started the killing and killed 68 million Protestants. You know what they was using? The Scripture. They just say it's better to make people serve God by force than to not serve Him at all. That was what they was using.
Right.
And they backed it up with scriptures. Of course, they were twisted.
Right.
But what do we think? I don't think there's anybody in the world wants to kill me, but there's probably a lot of people that say, well, you know, he has messed up a lot of things, so we're better off without him. You know, but that's all right. But look at the prophet. He said, and they're sincere about it.
Right.
He said, they're not hypocrites. A hypocrite is somebody's not sincere, right?
Right.
No, a hypocrite's what does this. What does, well, that's what's the saying. Come on. What about killing people believing we're right? Wasn't it the Methodists that put John Smith, or who was him back there, they put a man to death? And was it the Lutheran? One of them put him to death because of believing the word? No, now, those are good people. I just explained that. See, it's bad to say, but you know, hell's going to be full of good people. How would you do if you were back in the Dark Ages when they would take a cross and then tie you to a, you know, a cross and or whatever, pile sticks around you and get ready to burn you, and hold a cross up in front of you? Do you realize the situation I'm talking about? Now, here's the group of people that's putting these people to death, that they're over here praying. Let's all pray that this man will get converted before we burn him. Now, come on, you're talking about religious people. And they're praying. Not hypocrites, they're praying. And they're thinking, if we can get that man converted from believing in what? What was the arguments? What was the things back there? You don't ever think about it? Get Fox's Book of Martyrs and read it. And here's a priest standing with a cross, and you're tied to a tree and it's fixing to burn you. Deny that God you believe in. You look back at him and say, what do you mean? So, sir, would you explain to me what you mean? You deny that God you believe in. And you say, well, don't you believe Jesus Christ died for our sins? Yes. I believe it. Well, I believe he died for our sins. What are you killing me for? Because you don't believe the Virgin Mary died for your sins. Come on. Get the picture. Draw it out in your mind. Two people looking at each other and both of them claiming to be Christians. And one of them would be like Polycarp. It was told of him that when they come to kill him, he requested time, cooked them a meal, let them sit down and eat, and prayed for 2 hours for the people that had come to take him in. Well, you know what? When they sat down to eat, he gave them a meal. Right? Well, can't you just see the old priest that walks in or whatever he is? So we'll eat your meal. Priest says, hold in a minute, gotta say the blessing. And he prays over the food and sanctifies it in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, come on, church. Wasn't that what happened? But see, they had come up with the idea that it was better to make you serve God. And to kill you if you wouldn't do it. And even using the scriptures to back up what they were doing. Look at the next one. Reaching the first seal, paragraph 328. But now he said he wanted it. See, they wanted it. Listen. So he'd give them a strong delusion. Is that the Bible? He knew they wanted it, And Paul said they would give them a strong delusion, God would, to believe a lie and be damned by the lie that you believe. Because he knew they wanted it. Okay. Remember the prostitute of Revelation 17. She is a mystery. A mystery is something that you do not understand. You understand it's no longer a mystery. Is that sensible? Something you don't understand is a mystery.
Right.
Right. Well, now, Revelation 17 is a mystery. It's even called Mystery Babylon in your Bible. Mother of harlots. See, then when you look at it, you can't see what it is. If you do, it's not a mystery. Right? Come on. And John admired her, just like this man. Look to wait till we get here and watch him watching this white horse. See? But you notice what happened was this, that he admired her with her great admiration. Admired her with great admiration. But the mystery was that she drank the blood of the martyrs. A beautiful church sat there decked in purple and gold, and she had a cup in her hand of the filthiness of her fornication. Now John admired this. You know, the thing that I'm talking about is so much a mystery until everybody in the world but the Lord Jesus Christ was deceived by that mystery. Even the one you claim to be your prophet.
Amen.
We'll read it in a minute. What did he say? He said, I'd have made a horrible mistake if the Holy Spirit hadn't corrected me.
Right.
He used to teach that the white horse rider was the Holy Ghost. But he found out it was the Antichrist.
Amen.
He said later, he said, I've been around this all the time and didn't know exactly what it was. I know people out there, you ain't gonna like that. That's all right. You deal with studying the prophet's message. What about the greatest prophet that has ever been on the earth outside the Lord Jesus Christ was deceived by the church system? Now come on, just be sensible.
Right.
He knew they was wrong in this and wrong in that and wrong in this one and wrong in that one. Right?
Right.
Don't be foolish in your thinking. He knew that the Baptists had wrong, the Methodists had wrong. They taught a Trinity. They baptized Father, Son, Holy Ghost.
Right?
Right? They believed hell was eternal.
Right.
And the serpent seed was eating an apple. He knew all that was wrong. But yet, that Antichrist was so close to Jesus Christ until the world was deceived. And so was the prophet until 1963 when that first seal broke to him. And you and I are still deceived by it. I don't care how much you can quote.
Amen.
Until that seal is revealed to you and I.
That's right.
Yeah. That's why I drive it so hard to say we get the revelation of the seal. We don't get the literal happening under those things. We look back and see that as I was doing the other day, going all the way back to Genesis. Going back to the garden and Eve being deceived. Who was doing that? Satan.
Amen.
You agree?
Sure,
yeah. Watch when you get down in a little bit. He instilled into a man named Cain. He got Eve's mind and took her into adultery.
Right.
He got into a man named Cain. And don't you think they talked about what they were doing? And Cain probably ridiculed Abel. Now, Abel just laying over taking care of the sheep. Cain was out there working like crazy. And have you ever put out a garden? That's what he was doing. He was digging out all of the rocks, getting out everything, and making a beautiful place for a garden. And raising those things that he brought for his own offering. And he was making fun of Abel. And he said, Abel, what are you going to do? Tomorrow we got to give a sacrifice. You know. Abel said, I'll have mine. Cain worked himself to death, sweated like everything. There come a day for the sacrifice. Cain laid all of his out. Abel went over in the flock and got a lamb. Come back. Might not at that time had a knife. No, that was probably later on when steel began to be able to be molded and made into metal. But he took a rock, the prophet said, and cut that animal's throat. Can't you just see Cain? Why, you murderer? What do you mean? You're in trouble with God. Because you've killed an animal, an innocent one. And look what I've got laying out. God comes down and accepts Abel's offering and rejects Cain. Cain had already got it from a deed to a doctrine to a rule of life. He turned around and killed Abel. And when we get over in the second seal, you'll see then the killing started back there. The killing didn't start at Nicaea. That's what I'm trying to tie together for you to get you to see it. Those seals go all the way back to Genesis and comes down through. And we see it by revelation. And then when it goes to Israel, the man of sin was set in the temple of God, showing himself to be as God. Satan incarnate, again, is the beast. It started with the beast in the garden and wound up with the beast in Revelation.
Right?
Well, we better not be here when that happens. All right. The prophet said when that Antichrist started riding, he said he rode down through and said he got off the white horse. He got on the red horse. He rode the red horse a while. He got off the red horse and got on to the black horse. He got off the black horse and got on the pale horse. He said he rode that horse into eternity. Now I can give you the direct quote. I've got it in the notes here. Now, not meaning that the devil's going to ride into eternity. You know better than that.
Amen.
It just means it's going right up to where eternity starts. You can't ride that Antichrist into eternity. You'd have to give him eternal life.
Right.
That's what we don't look at. See, that white horse is still riding.
Yep. Right.
That white horse didn't stop back there. And the red one start, the white horse just keeps going. The red one's rode a while, it just keeps going. The black one is gone, and it just keeps going. The pale one finishes up. You can't ride him into eternity. So he must be saying unto eternity. All right? That white horse don't stop, folks. That white horse is that Antichrist teaching that's in these people of the message. And I don't mind admitting, in you and I. Well, let's get rid of it, Brother Dale. That's what I'm trying to do. That's what I'm spending my whole life trying to get it out of you and me.
Amen.
You and me. Only the revealed word.
Amen.
Can destroy the effects of Satan upon you.
Amen.
Come on. He's still riding.
Amen.
You still think you're right. Eve thought she was right. She never, show me anywhere she ever repented. Come on. I don't care what you think she'd done in the garden, if it was eating an apple or a pear or a pomegranate or blowed her nose. She ain't never repented of it. The Catholic Church killed 68 million by their own record. Oh, yes, I guess we might have messed up. Why didn't they dig up the bones of those priests and throw them in the river to show a repentance? Because they did do that at certain times. Joan of Arc, when they finally found out she was a Christian, they dug up the bones and threw, which meant symbolically that those people were lost. Well, who's the people that killed the 68 million? Why don't they admit all of them's lost? No, they're not going to do it. I guess we was wrong. And we apologize. Yeah. Waiting a chance to start killing again.
Amen.
You know that they got to the place that they could go in and pay before they sinned? What was his name? Something Salter, the Hun. I believe his name was Hun. But he killed over 1,000 people in one night. Well, see, he's okay because he done got forgiven. And boy, that's deception, ain't it? Well, come on, have you been to a funeral lately? Everybody's going to heaven. Like Brother Stephen Wilson says, they're going to do away with hell because ain't nobody going there. And I'm not against that. I'm not saying it wrong. I'm just saying it. If that person is born again, they're going to heaven. If they're not, I don't care what good works, how many times you paved the parking lot or painted the church. Or how much money you put in the offering plate. I heard one time about years ago, and a fellow said, well, man, that guy's pretty bad. I saw him put $2 in the offering plate one time. Boy, that put him in heaven. What's the difference in that and paying to purgatory? Come on, you know it's right. To pay him out of purgatory. This last pope was so good, he made a whistle stop. The last pope was so great a guy, he made a whistle stop in hell. Because they believe everybody's going to hell. Purgatory, what do you want to call it? So he just made a whistle stop. He just slowed down and rode through, and they done prayed him out. Yeah. I kind of like what the person said one time when he's giving money to pay him to the priest to pay him. Pray him out of hell, you know, purgatory. They say, we got him all out but one foot. The people found said, he was a pretty good athlete. He can walk without it. Leave his foot. We done paid all we can pay. You say those things are silly. Right? We say that's silly. But what little concept do you have?
Amen.
Brother Dale, I believe Brother Brown was a prophet. That gives you, that gives you front row in hell. That you don't like that, I know. That reserves your front row seat. Because first is last and last is first. So you get a front row seat in hell for believing the prophet. Boy, that's a lot of internet went out that. That's all right. I didn't ask you to listen. I'm just trying to preach the truth. But you see, if you're born again, that took me out of hell and gave me a front row seat in heaven. If you're born again. That way, then I can believe a prophet. Because my Bible says no man can call Jesus a Christ other than by the Holy Ghost that's within him. Not because he believes a prophet. If you got the Holy Ghost, you will believe the prophet. There's no problems with it. If we don't, then we'll argue over ideas and thoughts. Okay. Doing pretty good. Now let's just make sure that we understand something. Follow a little point. And I know this is reviewing. But, you know, sometimes reviewing helps. Some of these quotes we've already given, but sometimes it's good to give them. And to just see what the real truth of it is. To find out whether or not we are deceived. It's just like I've tried to explain to you. People say, well, I understand one God, water baptism, no eternal hell, serpent seeds, seals, thunders, plagues, this, that. I don't understand Daniel 70 weeks. Well, now, I've always made it plain to you. I believe one God has got to be revealed to you just exactly like Daniel 70 weeks has to be revealed. Serpent seed has to be revealed to you just exactly like one God has to be revealed. How many of you remember when you first started reading even the prophet's message about one God? And that old devil says, boy, he believes in God in three persons. Listen at him. He said, let's stand and address the third person of the Trinity. Well, he believes in three gods. See that? How many of you argued about the revelation of one God when you first heard it? Come on. Let's go a little deeper. How many of you went to the water in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ when you first heard about the one God? See, that's where people don't like me. You don't like me. Because I've heard people right here say, boy, when I first seen it, I done it. And I remember it took me about 6 months to get you baptized. And it certainly wasn't dry weather, no creek to baptize in. It's because you didn't want it done because you didn't believe it. Well, when I first seen it, man, when I first seen it, I done it. 5 years or something. I got an office, come sit down in it. And I'll explain all them messages I preached. That you frowned and crooned and went off and told everybody else how wrong I was. Brother Dale's missed it right here. See, I'm just honest. I saw the one God because that's a Baptist doctrine. And Brother Moat blowed me away on that one where he said, it's a person, it's a personality. Personality is an individual, individual person. You're Trinity like anybody else. I said, don't believe that no more. That didn't mean I understood everything. I just knew that the man had took the scriptures and demoted me totally out of the way. But it took me about 6 months to get baptized. Oh, you mean you're honest enough to admit it? Yeah, sure did. How long did it take you? You know that I had to preach a good bit here one time on one little fact. that a lot of people in this church was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, but it was baptized under regeneration, under a denominational doctrine. And then some finally come and said, I believe I need to get baptized again. I said, I thank you too. Because if you were baptized believing it was under regeneration,
right,
how deceiving are you? I'm not carnal and not funny. But if all it takes is for you to baptize anybody, I'll meet you on Lake Lanier this afternoon. We won't have an evening service. But everybody that comes by that lake will go in that water one way or the other. You know that ain't going to save them. But if that's all it takes, well, see, church, trying to get us to see how easy it is to be deceived. Mama told me this. Mama told me this. Well, glory. But was Mama right? See, we're in the day with a computer now. You can't argue Mama said. Right? You just run it in the computer and you can find out if Mama said it. Or if it was Mama's idea about what Brother Branham said. Right? You see how easy it is to be deceived. To believe a lie, the Bible says, and be damned by it. In vain, the Scripture says, you worship me teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. Remember the story that Brother Branham was telling about the Jew that he was talking to, and the old Jew couldn't get nothing over on Brother Branham because he trapped him with the Scripture showing and asking him the question of who do you believe the Messiah will be, and he said it'll be God. So the man finally wound up and said, that man Jesus said he was a thief. Well, see, what would most of us have ever come up with? Somebody's told you Jesus was a thief, what would you say? Well, we're in faith. No, said he went through the cornfield and took corn. Brother Branham said, hold it, sir. Your own scripture says that it's lawful for you to go through a man's cornfield and eat your fill. But said you can't put none in the sack and take it with you. That's Bible. That's how the poor folks was taken care of back then, you know. Right. But how easy it is to be deceived. What do we think about it? Pull up number one, brother, and let's get started on it. We'll go a little while anyway. Taken from the first seal, paragraph 266. You've heard this from before. But that's what mankind thought. Brother Branham thought it. He thought that the White Horse Rider was the Holy Spirit that went forth in the early ages with his little arrow, you know, little bow and little arrow, shooting like Cupid, remember? Had a bow in his hand, which meant like Cupid. He shot the arrows of love into the hearts of the people. The love of God, and he conquered. That's what mankind used to believe. That's what he believed the White Horse Rider was. Because he had a bow. Now that sounds very good. You know why? Because that's the way he used to believe. A little different form, maybe. Right? Come on. No, sir, that it wasn't. White does mean righteous. We realize that. That white means righteous. The teachers taught it. What did it teach? That it was the Holy Spirit conquering in the first age. But my revelation of it by the Holy Spirit is not that way. Now, a revelation is going to straighten out a false doctrine. That's the only way a false doctrine can be straightened out, is by revelation. Right? Now, he's talking about the world religious system. Well-trained people. This church that John admired. And little old prophet with a seventh grade education. My revelation is not right, Captain. In other words, God has revealed something to me. I'm going to tell you what he's revealed to me. What? Well, my revelation of it is by the Holy Spirit. It's not that way. My revelation by the Holy Spirit is Christ and the Holy Spirit is the self-same person. See? Only in a different form. So here stands Christ, the Lamb. We know, and he was the Lamb. We know he was the Lamb. He's standing here with the books in his hand, and there goes the white horse rider. See, so it wasn't the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Now, to a Trinitarian, what does it matter how many persons or personalities have you got? Well, they can have them riding all over the place. Don't matter to them. But there stands a prophet with a revelation that the Holy Ghost in Christ is the self-same person. And out goes a white horse rider. And I ask you to read the seal book there, the first seal, and see how many times he called him a he or a him or a guy or a person riding off. I ain't asking for no raise of hands for how many's read it, because it'd probably be very few. But you know all about it. I know I'm hateful, right? If we was in school and I gave you that to read and you didn't read it, you got a goose egg. That's what I told you about then when we was going to that ministers meeting. I said there'll probably be 30 people there, and at least 10 out of them has never even read a book. And you know that some of them admitted they had never seen a drawing that Brother Branham made on the 70 weeks. Never seen one. Yet, Wade and I was wrong. We're wrong. Because it's what I believe. Well, you remember what happened in the garden? You remember the prophet making a statement one day that Cain said to God. That's not in the Bible, but this is a prophet translating what was happening. Cain said to God, he said, I've done all I'm going to do. Take it or leave it. He said, and God left it. How horrible could a person be to tell God that had told you what to do, and said, if you'll do like your brother, you'll be accepted.
Right.
That if not, sin lieth at the door.
Right.
He had an opportunity right there.
Amen. Amen.
But instead he said, God, you take it or leave it. I'm not doing anything else. Now, how many of you have said or heard people say, the Baptist is good enough for mama or daddy? It's good enough for me. My mama died a Baptist. I'm going to be a Baptist. You ever heard that? Come on. What's the difference in the deception?
Amen.
But listen, church. I know when I preach, the way I preach it, and I want you to listen. But why can't you thank God for what he's revealed to you?
Right.
For one time, just sit down and thank God, look what you've done for me. Do that for somebody else. Instead of thanking Brother Dale is such a hateful person to preach against churches and people. Don't you love him for what he showed you? I didn't choose this. I didn't choose to be what I am. I don't like to be hard and preach. I love people. I want to help them. But I can't help what he reveals to me. Am I to apologize for what God reveals? See, because you don't hear me say things like other people say. And I'm not against it. That's between that person and God. If my mother and my daddy was a born-again Christian, for the time they live, they'll be there in the bride. But if they wasn't, they won't be there. I've always been honest with you. If they wasn't born again, they won't be there. But maybe God will give them eternal life for bringing me. It's a great thing to be the bride of Christ.
Amen.
Sure, in my heart, I hurt to try to help people and talk to them and see them just turn it down. And see, you know, I want to see people believe in it.
Amen.
Look what the next one, look what he says on the next one. Paragraph 190, the second seal. Now, first he become an Antichrist. Now he couldn't be Antichrist only in spirit. That's where it first started out. Remember the other day we were talking about? When he first started out, it was just a spirit. Didn't he become an Antichrist? Look. And that spirit took a man that taught the same things that Antichrist spirit was doing. Now listen. Then he became a false prophet to the Antichrist spirit. Now look at the next one. I didn't say it. What about a man in an organization? Suit yourself, he said. I don't know what you think about it, but all right. See, what's he saying? An Antichrist spirit working upon you. But if you become one with that spirit, you'll stay in an organized religion. Or you'll come in this message and cause havoc, or however you say it, chaos, to teach your doctrine. Right? See, an Antichrist spirit, you can't crown a spirit. It's just a spirit. It was first a spirit to Cain. See? But then it became a doctrine. A prophet to a system. Cain became a prophet to his false doctrine. Then Cain become incarnate with it and says, take it or leave it. I'm a pope. You remember how he brought that out? But you know what he became? He became a beast and rose up and killed his own blood brother. And then when God come checking on Abel, he said, am I my brother's keeper? God turns to send him out of the land. And look how hateful, arrogant a man is. He said, God, you can't send me out there. He wasn't crying down on his knees and everything. He said, you can't send me out there. They'll kill me. Remember the Bible? So the Bible said God put a mark on Cain. So they wouldn't kill him. Now, did he stamp him? No, he didn't make him black. That ain't it.
Yeah.
Blue nor green. What was the mark he put on it? He told Adam and Eve and all of the descendants to leave Cain alone. Because if not, why didn't Adam wring the old boy's neck? He killed his son. Why didn't he kill him? God told Adam to leave him alone. That was the mark. Not a mark of blackness. Because if it is, look it around in here. If it's darkness, I ain't going out in the sun no more. But every time I get out in the sun, I get to turn in dark. And Labby Grace, she'll look at me sometimes, look at my arm, put her arm up there. You know? But you see how deceiving? See, first he was Antichrist. Then he took a man. Now, if he didn't first become incarnate with him, see, he took a man. The man began to be a prophet. Yeah. Teaching a false doctrine. Follow that all the way through the Bible. Follow that up until... Get over there with Moses sometimes. And there stood Moses telling them people what to do. Was it Dathan and Korah? You take too much upon yourself. We're spiritual just like you. We've heard from God. We've seen visions. We've had all the things you've had. And we're spiritual. Right? Moses said, let's see. All that's on God's side, just come over here. 250 preachers with censers in their hands, coals off the altar, golden bowl that they had it in. The earth swallowed them up. Right. The next day, read your Bible, the next day, the people came to Moses and said, you killed the people of God. He ought to have turned around and said, open that earth up and swallow the rest of them. But no, he would have done that had it not been for what? Christ and Moses. Oh, you're goody-goody. I'm not too goody-goody. I would have been ready to kill the rest of the rascals. You say, oh, no, you're supposed to be born again. No, I'm human too. Maybe I need a lot more Christ. But Moses, God wouldn't come over him either. You see where all of that's coming down through there? What we see is the finish. That's the message. If I can get there, if I don't, I'll finish it Wednesday. Well, we're over here looking at the finish of anything. But remember, it's got to have a beginning. Brother Brown said, them seals begin in Genesis. He said, every doctrine ever been begun in Genesis. And worked its way down through. Wait till we get over to the killing, and then you can follow it real good. Cain killed Abel. Then they started killing each other. Right? Over religious matters. Every war that we've ever had was over religious matters. May have been called governmentals and all like that, politics, but had religion behind it. What is it today? Islamics and what? They're religious, right? They're serving the Allah God. And they're dying in a holy war that guarantees them a trip to heaven. Sound pretty religious, don't it? We don't do that. I hope we don't. I hope you don't say this because you believe it's messy. You get a free trip to heaven.
Yeah. Right.
My kids ain't never been taught that. Neither has the church been taught that. So, not by me. All right, let's get this life lived apart. Because this is what we were on the other day. Read this last one. Paragraph 160. Maybe the next two where we get all of the wording together. All right. And I want you to notice the four of them. Notice the off mark of your four of the spiritual mathematics. God is three. See, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. This is four. Now, Satan comes in four, so God has to counteract him, and there's four combat beasts. Because there's four beasts of the Antichrist. The white horse, the red horse, the black horse, the pale horse. So God has to counteract that. It was four stages of your bug, the cankerworm, palmworm, locust, the caterpillar, that Joel spoke of, that ate it down. So then God has to come back with justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, incarnate word. Right? But see, his correct way of doing things is Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Right? God is three. This is four. We're talking about the Antichrist. He's in four here. First, Antichrist. White. Right, that's your first seal. Second, false prophet. Red. Third, vicar of heaven and earth and purgatory. Black. Fourth, the beast, pale horse, Satan being kicked out of heaven. Now, you've got to be kicked out of heaven before you can become the beast. I love that. He's upright right now, the Bible says, accusing the brethren. But he's going to be kicked out. See, we're going to have a spiritual Armageddon. Amen. Not a physical Armageddon. Right. We're going to have a spiritual one in our lives, or we're not getting out of here. Right. These seals then apply to us in every form. But they don't, they've done been open for us. Right. Jesus preached six seals in Matthew 24. And was the seventh himself. See? So then what is it? The four stages is what? Antichrist, false prophet, vicar of heaven and earth, which makes him what? A pope. A pope. See, the Antichrist didn't kill nobody. Spirits don't kill people. A false prophet that moved on the scene with it. Number two, he just started that doctrine. Right. First Nicene Council was not over one God or three. It was over whether Jesus was God or a like substance. And read your Nicene Creed, it come from it. That they said in their own creed, Jesus is the substance of God. But the idea, the doctrine had done been planted into the man, people's mind. And Brother Brown said the bride ought not have went to Nicaea. You can say, well, they left out. Boy, they didn't get deceived. Yes, they brought, Brother Brown said they brought back with them. You don't read enough to read them things. Bless God, I believe it. I believe the true bride couldn't go to Nicaea. And you're making your prophet a liar because he said they did. Go on. Forget it. You believe the doctrine. You go where the doctrine comes from. Because the first was an antichrist. Second was a prophet. False prophet to a false word. By 606, the Pope had done come into view. 325 AD, they was beginning to move into that realm. By 606, they had done changed the water baptism. They had done set the Pope into view, started killing the people. See? Because he had become an incarnate false prophet. And remember what we read a while ago. Your prophet said they were not hypocrites. They believed what they were doing was what God told them to do. The Bible says that it'll come to a time that, what is it? Father will be against son, son against father, mother against this, mother-in-law against that, and all kind of things, right? Why? Because people believe they're right. See? What stage are you and I in? I'll quit right there. What stage are we in? not to change the title, Brother Joe, erase out that second seal and just put people. Just put people on there, because that's what we are. How easy is it to be deceived? Oh, but I can't be deceived. Well, people quote that from Brother Branham. They don't never go over there and find the one where he said, frankly, it'd get them messed up. Right. And if he didn't cut the work short, and I'm quoting him, he said there'd be no flesh saved. Yeah. Oh, but that means on over there. I don't believe it. I know the bride cannot be deceived and taken to hell.
That's right.
But what do you think has taken all the people to the grave?
Right.
When Martin Luther, the great man, the preacher, just shall live by faith in God, ring down through glory with that. Yet he turned around and said the Jews ought to be killed, that they were Antichrist. Why? Because he was not a prophet. He was under the man. And you couldn't come forth with a last day message.
Right.
You see, church, how easy is it for us to be deceived? Like I told you, I went to preach for a brother one time, and I thought he believed the message. And I preached a simple little message. That's the same place in baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I encourage people with a simple statement I've always made to you. Right? How many of you ever heard this statement? I'd rather go through life seeking God for the baptism of the Holy Ghost and come to the end of the road and find out I've got it than to go through life thinking I got it, wind up at the end of the road and find out I don't have it. How many times have you ever made that statement? Probably about 8,432, or 3-1. But I preached a simple little message. A brother got mad at me. Another brother told me, said, that brother's mad at you. And I went to his house when I found out he was mad at me. I said, what are you mad about? You come here and preach in my church that I had my people built on the word and said, you got them to seeking God. I said, brother, I apologize for preaching in your church something you didn't believe. I thought you were a Pentecostal that believed in justification, sanctification, and baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I said, apologize for preaching something you don't believe, but I will never apologize for getting people to seek God. I will never do that.
Amen.
I want you to seek God until you know that you know. Come on, brother. That you know what's right. That you know God lives.
Amen.
That you know that there is a God that's real.
Yes.
Not a mythology. Not a thought in your mind. But to know that he's real.
Amen.
Yeah. And you know what? He's so real, he'll talk to you. He'll just fellowship with you if you let him. He'll come right down and talk to you right in the middle of the night.
Right.
What's the matter? You don't believe in that kind of a God?
Right.
No, God only speaks to the prophet. Well, it's like some of them said one time that I was a prophet. And I withstood it from the pulpit and said, I am not a prophet in the fivefold ministry. They wouldn't say I was going up. Said I was a prophet in the fivefold ministry. I said, no, that's wrong. I am not a prophet in the fivefold ministry. I said, well, the word comes to you. My prophet said the word comes to the spirit field. So then if you'll take it that we're all prophets in the body of Christ, I'll go along with you. If you'll say we're all prophets in the body because this is a prophetic age that we're living in, then I'll go along with you 100%. I don't have the ministry of a prophet. If you're going to make me anything, make me a teacher. Leave it alone. Why? Because God is here to deal in your heart and your life. I loved it years ago when I read where the prophet said, when the prophets come. And it took a long time to study that now. But you see, on the day of Pentecost on Azusa Street, the Holy Ghost came back. Brother Branham said, in a great prophet, to every born-again believer on Azusa Street had the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the great prophet, the Holy Spirit. Every born-again believer today has within you the prophet of God. Because this is the prophetic age.
Right.
Yeah. But that way we just don't build up nobody. He said, well, why don't you tell the truth? I'm trying my best to tell the truth. I'm just part of the body of Christ. You get to looking at me as a prophet, you'll try to get me to discern out things in your life and tell you different things. That won't work because I don't have the gift. Sure, God has spoke to me. Wife is a witness. She told me last night, bow my head in sorrow. She punched me, what's the matter? I tried to tell her, but I couldn't. I saw something. Sure, that's fine. But you can do the same thing if you just yield yourself to God and believe Him. He wants to deal with you the same as He does everybody else. I don't make nothing out of any of us. He makes a great God among us.
Amen.
To reveal Himself. The hour that we're living. Understand? How easy is it to be deceived? All we got to do is believe Satan's lie. Brother Brown said, believe Satan's lie is what? Serve Satan. What he said? Go ahead, brother.
139 in the spiral book.
Anybody have a need? The altar's open.
I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the pilgrim way, for the hand of God in all my life I see. And the reason of my bliss, yes, the secret all is this, that the Comforter abides with me.
To drop down and give her strength in her body. Bring back that strength that was
ours.
That she'll be bubbling with joy. Because Satan, because of what has to be done to the body, sometimes we wind up that way. But we know who is real. And we believe you, Father. And we thank you, Lord Jesus. Just let your strength come to our sister and abide in the body. We're Lord that she can see you.
As a bird and just as free, for the Spirit has control. Jesus satisfies my soul, since the Comforter abides with me. He abides, He abides.
Oh,
hallelujah, He abides with me. And I'm rejoicing night and day.
Brother Donnie and Sister Susan wants to bring the kids. Everybody knows these was they're Mandy's kids and everything, and they had to take them. But they've got them now, and Ricky's trying to help, and all of them's doing and trying to raise them. But they want to dedicate them to the Lord.
Yeah.
Well, you know, let's just do that. All right?
Right.
Let's just pray and dedicate the little ones to the Lord, that God will be with them and take care of them.
Right.
Because they need it, right?
That's right. Yes.
Lord Jesus, we lay our hands upon our little buddies, Lord, and little sister. We thank you, Father, for your love and your grace unto them, that you've taken care of them this far. And now, Father, we just ask you as we bring them to you to dedicate them to you, Lord, that you would just take them and raise them for your honor and glory. Make everything be well and all the scars and things to be taken from them. Lord, that they may see Jesus Christ in reality. We love you, Father, and we thank you. And we commit these to you, Lord. And we commit our brother and sister and Rick and them, all that's happening and all that's doing. We commit them all to you too, Lord, to raise these kids for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bless you, buddies. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Okay. All right. Amen. Amen. Dedicate them to the Lord. Bring them and let God do. All right. Let's just be dismissed. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your love and your grace. We thank you for everything. We pray that you help us, Lord, to be guided in understanding of you and to walk in the light of your love. And Father, just have your way with us. Be with Brother Dean, our Lord, and the problem in his body, and just take it away. Just let your grace be sufficient in all things. Because we love our brother and we want to see him well and all okay. We believe it. There's many others that are sick among us, Lord. Brother Richard asking us there this morning about somebody to pray for him, Lord, and we can't even remember the name, but you can't forget it. So we ask you to bless, Lord, and be with each one. Dismiss us now. Be with Wade this afternoon, Lord, as he meditates to speak unto us, that your word would have first place in our hearts and lives is what we desire. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. You did.
If we never meet again on this earth, my precious friend, and if to God you have been true,